Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
We thank you. We honor you for your love, for your mercies, for your kindness. All we are is a function of your grace. And so we say, you alone be the glory. Even tonight, we are persuaded that you will do great and mighty things, as is your way. Lives will be transformed. Encounters will take place. Deliverances will be engendered. And these visitations of your spirit will cause us to improve in the quality of our existence and also empower us to impact our world. Take all the praise. Take all the glory. In Jesus' precious name. You may be seated. God bless you, choir. Before I came up, the Lord whispered to my heart. In the last 3 weeks, we've been dealing with the subject of our victory from demonic manipulations and demonic oppressions. It's been Tuesdays of deliverances by the Spirit, and we've seen great things happen. Pastor Victor has been a blessing in the past 3 weeks, teaching again and again and ministering from the fountain that the Lord, by His Spirit and His Word, has dug in His heart. And so we have been blessed. And so we are finalizing tonight. Tonight we may not necessarily be teaching on the subject of deliverance, but so much will happen, I assure you. And I'm persuaded because before I came up, the Lord whispered to my heart. You know, a man is not powerful because of the way he appears. He's powerful because of the things he hears. He's also powerful because of the things that are revealed to him. Because when you see and hear, the spirit that speaks to you and shows you those things comes to defend the things he has revealed to you. Because credibility is a factor in the spirit. And so when you see and hear, you can be casual about it. The outcome will blow your mind. Because one of the things God insists to do is to make it clear that the treasure is in earthen vessels. Because the excellence is of Him. He's the one doing the wonders. And so oftentimes when He wants to validate that the more, He will say things that look impossible. So when they begin to happen, it will showcase His excellence. And so when I sat down, God whispered to my heart and He said, over your people, the people have committed to you, and over this tribe, He said there will be a window open. And in the next 7 months, He said, doors of marital settlement will be open. You see, we are God's people, and God decides to allocate us into tribes so that He can deal with us in specific ways. And so people can be going through different things in different places, but under this allocation in his family, he said he will open a window of settlement. And so what that means is that whatever it takes or whatever it requires for you to be maritally established in these 7 months, it will happen. And so there will be many testimonies in that regard. And also by extension, people that are going through marital crisis, there will be visitation. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Tonight is a special night. We are delighted to have a very special vessel. You know, in the operations of God's Spirit, there are dispensations. And so when you study the scriptures, you find out judges rise in different dispensations, and when their time is over, the dealings of God for that period is rolled away and God anoints new judges. Kings rise, they reign, and eras are opened. And when their dispensation is over, God anoints new functionaries. For those who are sensitive, they will know that there is a new move of God. And because of this new move of God, there are new emphases. For those who are elderly among us, they understand what I'm saying. You know, in the 70s, when the evangelical order opened, the likes of the Archbishop Benson Idahosa, by privilege of divine providence, God gave so much authority to him and opened the shores of the nations. And he had interactions with the likes of T.L. Osborne and Gordon Lindsley. He learned the ways of the kingdom. In fact, while he was in the Bible study, in the Bible school, God commanded him to return to Africa. And when he came, that was where the African tele-evangelism opened up. So we started hearing of crusades. That was when we realized that church could pack people in a stadium and it would be full. And God's power would be on display. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Because of that level of influence and validation from heaven, he had authority to challenge government and powers that be. And honor was restored to the church. And this is why many people today reference the likes of Benson Idahosa. But over time, new functionaries began to emerge. You know, in that era, it was about the power of God and the things God could do. But those who drank from his well, they too began to encounter God. And so new functionaries came on the scene. And we saw different moves began to open up. Because when he pioneered that evangelical order, the emphasis was faith and prosperity. And God needed to bring some buffer because of the excesses that spiraled out of it. Because when a man has authority and is talking with boldness, others who don't have that kind of authority will talk like that, but theirs will be arrogant. Because God will not back it up. So in order to chisel and to cushion the excesses, God began to raise other voices. And so the likes of W.F. Kumuye came with the doctrine of holiness, the fear of God, to bring balance. After that time, other voices were on the scene. And I'm not saying they were the only people, but these were arrowheads. Because every dispensation has arrowheads. A point came where suddenly Bishop Oedeko began to quote scriptures, and you will have 10 overflows in one meeting. It looks as if the man was an encyclopedia of scriptures. And another order of faith movement in the likes of Kenneth E. Hagin, such as was seen in Tulsa, came into Africa. And they decreed things that were unimaginable. They happened. And then we move forward. We now saw the prophetic movement. People came and they started calling people's name. Say, your father is John. How do you know my father is John? I saw an angel told me now that your mother is in the hospital. Her name is Martha. Strange things were happening. So we saw moves. Evangelical order, prosperity order, holiness movement, faith movement, prophetic movement. But you see, we are approaching the last days. And so what God is doing now is the ministry of the fullness. That's the ministry of the glory. Beyond what God can do, God wants to raise people that know him and carry his fullness. Not just a gift, but people who can represent the kingdom of God in its totality. So when you see them, you will not know them after the order of faith. You will not know them after the order of signs and wonders. You will not know them after the order of prosperity. When you see them, the only thing you want to see is Christ. And so God is zeroing back to holiness. Holiness, not just as an act, but as a nature. Because when you talk holiness, you are not talking about right living. Right living is part of it, but holiness is actually the fullness of God. That's why the elders in heaven call him holy. It's a class of existence where all men see is God. And so in order to engender that movement, God began to raise the apostles again. The apostles in the first order, such as it was in the days of the early church. You will find giftings, you will find faith, you will find prosperity, but the emphasis is not a gift. The emphasis is that everybody becomes like Christ. So when you meet people, you are not fascinated necessarily by the gift they manifest, but you are fascinated to the degree to which they mirror Christ. And this is why the doctrine today is about becoming, carrying the fullness and the essence of God. So you hear strange things like dealings. You know, such teachings became alien to the body of Christ. When the prosperity movement came, when 1,000 people gathered, it's about bread and wine. God is blessing you. God is doing things. Testimonies are all about cars. But suddenly we started hearing about dealings, about wilderness. That God can pick a man and take him to the school of process and thoroughly furnish him. So when he comes out, he becomes a theater that manifests God. We started hearing things like death. Death to flesh. Because before now, the emergence of the prophetic and the miracle signs and wonders, faith operations, zeroed only into grace. Grace. Jesus has done everything. You don't need to do anything. And because they can manifest one or two things, you will accept. But we now discovered that there was ingrained in that movement immorality. That a minister could raise cripples, but he's sleeping with somebody's wife. That a minister could prophesy and call your name, call your phone number, but he has 3 girlfriends. You now begin to wonder, how can these 2 extremes, what is the compatibility factor? That a man can leave a crusade, raise the dead, and go straight to the bed of fornication. It's because they didn't know about chiseling. You know, I was teaching them in the prayer meeting yesterday. I said there are 5 heights in the spirit. The first height in the spirit is the height above distraction. You break distraction off your soul. Because when you begin to ascend, you will discover that anxiety, distractions, fear of all sorts will be pulling you down as though there's a weight on your shoulder. You will press in prayer, in worship, and in meditation of scripture to go above distraction. And you hit that realm where it looks as if distractions don't exist. They will come and tell you, do you know this song that is raining? You say, I've never heard it. They'll be wondering, are you not in Nigeria? The other day, somebody told me one of the popular songs that is raining. He said, the person who sang it was arrested in Tanzania. I said, which song is that? He called one strange name. I said, I've never heard it. And the person was shocked. And honestly, I've never heard it. Because the world where we live, even if I'm in a bus and they are playing a secular song, I won't remember it. I can't pick it. I can't. Sometimes when you are in a bus, they are singing a song, you will drop. You will not know they were playing music. Not because you are trying to close your ears. The energy level where you are operating, your soul can't commune with that sound. It's the first level of ascension. You break distraction. The second level of ascension is the realm of momentum. Now you can stand in God's presence. There are many people, if you carry them to the prayer altar today, after 30 minutes, they'll be tired. They don't have momentum. Stamina is not there. And stamina in the spirit is focus. Focus. So when you come, you pierce through the cloud. And you begin to... That's why I told you humorously on Sunday that instead of looking around in the natural, there are things to look around in the spirit. Because sometimes when you are praying, the other day I was in the place of prayer with an intercessor, a strong intercessor. And immediately my eyes opened. I saw two perfumes. And there was the other perfume I saw had a sword, a long sword. And so I wanted to collect it. They said, no, they don't give the intercessor. I said, why? They said, that is, he will need it. You will not need it. He is a fighter. So they gave the intercessor the perfume with a long sword. And they gave me a perfume that had something shining on it like the sun. I now discover we are different. When the moment I collected my perfume, I now saw flags of nations passing. And it looked as if I stood in the middle. And the flags were rotating around me. Nations. Some of the flags I saw have gone there. Meanwhile, that intercessor doesn't need to travel because his throne is in his altar. My own throne is when I go out. If I enter the mission field, the oil begins to flow. I saw a perfume. But you will not see that until you have momentum. Because sometimes it will take focus in the place of prayer for a long time for you to see something. I'm not talking time, because you can be in the prayer altar for 10 hours and in 10 hours you are distracted. Momentum is not time bound, it's focus bound. You can zero in on God and you hold on to the horns of the altar. And then when you go beyond that level, you now come to the realm of fire. That's where they charge your soul. They charge you. Those who pray to the realm of charging, they know that when they pray for a while, you who don't know the technology of charging, when you see them praying, you'll be embarrassed. It's not their fault. They are on fire. So they may start the prayer gently. After a while, they become like white lions. Even the prayer, you will now be wondering, what type of prayer is this? Do you want to kill yourself? It's a height. It's a height. You may see a pretty young lady who walked into the service gorgeously. She now enters fire, the realm of charging. Then that lady suddenly becomes like a lioness. If you don't know, you will jump. Don't worry. When you reach there, you will see strange things. Because in the realm of charging, people are strange. Some people, if they enter that realm, all they do is to run. They can't stand there. They can't stand. They will run for 4 hours. They will just be running. They will be running. The energy is not in them. It came from that realm. Others, when they enter the realm of charging, they are disheveled. The person that came to the prayer like this, suddenly you see him like this. He's current. If something is happening to him, it's current. You will now see somebody in the prayer room like this. You say, what is this? Don't copy. When you are connected to your own current, your shape will come out. When you reach that realm, hear this. When you reach that realm, you have become a weapon. You are no longer a man. When the Bible says we are God's battle axe, that's what it's talking about. Because in that realm, if you are praying, if you carry a seat like this, that seat can be a governor. You just expelled him from the office. In that realm, you can pick a chair. That chair you carried, you have uprooted a prince in darkness. You will hear tomorrow that he's dead. In that realm, if you are running, it's not wrong. That step you are taking is promotion. You are leaping from one dimension to another dimension. You will finish that kind of prayer and you will come out. They will invite you to see the president. They will invite you from five nations. You'll be wondering, what is going on? Every step you took there was a dimension. It's called the realm of charging. You are a weapon. Now, when you reach that realm, Your prayer enterprise stops. You can't go beyond that realm unless you are summoned. It is from the realm of charging. That's what the Bible said in Titus. Is it Titus now? Jude, verse 20. It said, building up yourself. Until you reach charging is your enterprise. It said, building up yourself. God, the Holy Ghost won't help you there. That one, it will take discipline, spiritual discipline to reach there. Because you are the one building yourself. Many people have not reached that realm. Some people have not even overcome distraction. Let alone momentum. Let alone charge. It said, building up yourself upon your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. The word building up is the same word edifice. And it means to charge until you mount up. When you reach that realm, then you come to the realm of the voice. Now, the reason I'm explaining this is because before the emergence of the apostolic move, they taught people prayer to the charging realm. Because if you come to that realm, you will sense the anointing. If you leave the realm of charging, you can open blind eyes. You can deal with cripples. You can deal with demons. That's where the move of God stopped. This is why all you have are anointed men. And when you come to a place, people are working wonders. You can be charged. When the charge is reduced, you can still fornicate. Because you have not yet been summoned to the community of the immortals. Because to ascend beyond charge, you have to be invited. Come up hither. So they taught us how to stir the anointing. I started working in the anointing close to 20 years ago. Because they taught me charging a long time ago. And I followed people that work in the anointing. But you can walk in the anointing with chronic anger. You can walk in the anointing with chronic lust. Because you have not come to the presence. All you are doing is that you are stirring your spirit and the oil is flowing. When you enter the next realm, the realm of the voice, you are summoned. From there, they will now begin to shape you. Because in the realm of summon, they are not empowering you necessarily. They are making you. So he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. The moment he came there, nobody was interested in the anointing. They started censoring him. And he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. They took the coals of fire and touched him. That's the ministry of the presence. You will pray into charging. But when you reach the realm of charging, your prayer will end. If you want to go forward, you now wait. And see what you will be told. So your prayer silences your spirit. Because it breaks distraction. Your prayer charges your spirit so that you can bring ministry to people who are in lack. But if you want to go further with God and be transformed, you must learn to wait. Because they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew. Renewal. Transformation begins to take place. They shall renew their strength. So they will call you and then they will chisel you. And when they are done chiseling you, they will now send you as an ambassador. That's the realm of judgment. If you leave the realm of distraction to the realm of the momentum, to the realm of charge, to the realm of the voice, then you come to the realm of the judgments of God. There, they will give you scrolls and tell you, go and represent this dimension to your generation. And so when you come out, you become a living epistle, a testament of the dimensions of God. The apostolic ministry that is emerging now, the reason the focus is not anointing is because the body of Christ has already perfected anointing. Because they've taught people how to pray to the third realm. They've taught people the word of God to the third realm. But they've not taught people the realm where you allow the king to chisel you and break you. And make you so that you can represent him. And this is why God is raising new voice. This is not an attempt to say the past failed. Because everything they knew we do, they will build on the labor of the past. Because if you are building a story building, you won't start from the fourth floor. You will of necessity build on the foundations that already existed. So we will do what they did before, but we will add something by the Holy Spirit. And so that addition, God has called a few functionaries by his Spirit. And he has opened the testimony. He has opened the scroll to them so that they can bring the body of Christ to that higher realm of maturity, where everybody begins to know God for themselves, and the emphasis is no longer about what God gives or what they can do through God. It's about who they become in God. He says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. By the time the ministry of the apostles is completed, sanity will return to the body of Christ. When a man tells you he's a Christian, you will know that this one is a Christian indeed. If a man tells you he's a pastor, you can bank and trust that man with your life. Because it will be about character and about reflecting the nature of God much more than an anointing. I said all of that to let us know that tonight, one of such voices that God is raising is passing through our midst. You know, anytime God passes, strange things happen. On one occasion, in Matthew 9:21, as he was passing through the city, the woman with the issue of blood touched him. And he said the blood ceased. At another time, he came out of Jericho, Matthew 10:48, and blind Bartimaeus, son of David, have mercy. They say, shut up. Do you think they came for you? When God is passing, anybody can interact with him. When he enters the room, there will be a protocol. But when he's passing, it's a public reality. If you desire, you can make contact. And so tonight, in the similitude of a vessel that is prepared from the cave with utterance to communicate the counsel of God, and with verifiable and attestable character in brokenness, in truth, in fidelity, commitment to the kingdom of God doggedly with his life, if need be, is passing through us. He called me from Kaduna 3 days ago and said, I'm coming to see you. And I said, you have listened to almost all my messages. I've never sat under you. The last time you came here, I was not around. So this time, let the whole Encounter Jesus Ministry family drink from this water. Let's receive in the spirit of honor an end time apostle Epha Isaac Emmanuel.
Mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign. You ancient Zion King. God, you are mighty on your throne.
Hallelujah. Amen. Please, if you're excited, can you give Jesus a big shout? Hallelujah. So much has been said. You know, moments like this, you need to gather yourself to recover first. But I want to start by celebrating the angel over this house, God's choice servant, my father, our father, Apostle Michael Oropo. Thank you, sir. Next to him is the support system that the Lord has given to him, our mother. Please celebrate her. Celebrate her. Thank you so much, ma. Wherever you are, please lift up your hearts to heaven and cry for an encounter. Ask the Lord, don't pass me by. Give me my word. There is something you want to tell me. Speak. Give me my word. Give me my word. Give me my word. My word. everything God has for you would be given to you as words. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Please, you may be seated. God bless you. Just to share a bit on the reason why God continues to give us directions, give us his counsel, and puts a burden upon us to communicate it effectively to his people. We need to be able to consider a bit some of the processes that man has been subjected to, and to fully understand why God deals with us in the pattern and in the mode that he deals with us, we need to consider some of the transitions that man has, you know, experienced over time. The first man, Adam, didn't need to speak with God. He didn't need a language per se. So English was not a platform of communication. He didn't need, you know, to physically make sound to pick the heart of God, because he was operating from an economy of life. And in the economy of life, they don't teach you things before you know it. You receive your knowledge by knowings and inspiration. In fact, it was the economy of life that Adam was working under that God will ask him a question, and he will use that economy to pick out the exact answer in the heart of God. Every single creation God presented before Adam, when Adam named it, God approved that this was the name. It remained the name till now. In fact, God caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam, and while he was asleep, God removed a rib from him and made the woman. You will expect that when Adam get up, he will need some level of, you know, at least some discussions to know what happened. He got up using the economy of life and named woman by revealing exactly what God did to him. He says she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. The economy of life, God created that platform so that there will be no reason for a middleman arrangement. There will be no need for any man to tell another man about God, so that God can, you know, communicate with people directly. God will not need a middleman. Mind you, there is no language that has the sufficient vocabulary to express the things of the Spirit. So language itself is a barrier. Number two, there is no man that has the sufficient stature enough to be an accurate template for God. So even the third party arrangement too, it's a barrier. And so since man fell by partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the reason why he was driven out of the garden was not anger, because God was not offended at them. The reason why it was because there was the tree of life still in that garden, and they cannot have man in this fallen state partake of that tree. You will find that even when man fell, you will hear Cain talking to God as a man will speak to his brother. God will ask Cain, "Where is your brother?" Cain will reply to God, "Am I my brother's keeper?" That when they are about to give him his punishment for adding murder to the list of sins that have crept into the creation, one of the things they gave as his judgment was that God sent Cain out of the presence of the Lord. So Adam fell, Adam taken out of the garden, but they have not been taken out of the presence yet. They were still inside God's presence. Cain cried and said, "This punishment is too much for me. Now anyone who sees me will kill me." And God says, "I will put a mark on you. I will put a mark that will differentiate you, although you are not in the presence anymore." You know, most times we assume that God sending them out of the garden is, you know, God judging them and then, you know, removing them from the place of fellowship. Fellowship was maintained. God continued to keep. In fact, God showed them the technology of altars. The history of prayer started exactly when Seth was born. Suddenly men began to call upon the name of the Lord. It was clear that God could no longer enter this side, you know, freely, because the creature that he gave the dominion of this realm to had lost it to another creature. So for God to intervene now, there must be a technology that will legalize his presence.
And so God began to teach men how to erect altars so that portals can be opened. So the altar will be like a signal from here that legitimizes the operation of that spirit that that altar was dedicated to. And so when men began to practice altars, one of the rules you'll find at work is that the altar will first assess the person before what the person brought. And so the scripture that our sister read, the Bible says God had respect for Abel and to his offering. The respect is first for the person, then to what the person brought. And so the altar will first scan the person. It is not about what we want to do. I'm saying all this to put one scripture on this foundation. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. The Bible speaking in Genesis 1 26, it says, God made two great lights. One to rule the day. Sorry, Genesis chapter 1 verse 16. God made two great lights. One to rule the day and another to rule the night. Please, I want us to read together at the count of two so that it registers with us. One, two, go. Two great lights. One to rule the day. Yes. And the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Please say the greater light to rule the day. The lesser night light to rule the night. If there's anything this scripture communicates clearly to every one of us here, is that both the sun and the moon will rule. That God gave the moon his jurisdiction of his government. That the greater light will rule, but it will only rule a portion called the day. The lesser light also will rule, and it will rule a portion called the night. I'm trying to say that just in case, you know, you begin to prioritize things that are not an emphasis in the world of spirits. Just because you spend so much energy, so much time, it will not in any way change this ordinance. The greater light will rule a period of time, a portion, a particular, you know, space of time. The lesser light too will rule. So the moon will rule and the sun will rule. If you live in sin, whether knowingly or unknowingly, and yet you continue, you know, to use the enterprise of prayer to press, trying to shield yourself. Actually, what it means is that if Satan is able to draw you into the season of the night or the period of the night or the system called night, if you enter there, once you are there, the Lord over that place is the moon. The moon has no light of its own. The moon only reflects the light of the sun. And if you understand how it works carefully, it is like a person who created a virus and then also went at the other end and created the antivirus. And so Satan used the darkness as an avenue to shine. He does not operate as darkness. The Bible says, and be no marvel, for Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light. So he uses all the mysteries of the kingdom available to him, all the insight that he still has, and he disguises himself as light. And so, in the light of this, if God wants to give help to a person, if God wants to help us, the first thing he does is to draw us out of darkness into the light. Because if you remain in darkness, Satan will rule you. The protection package of holiness is stronger than the protection package of prayer, no matter how long you pray. If you are not living in tandem with the instructions of God, your borders are porous. The Bible says, he that breaks the edge, the serpent will strike. And so we go from all night to all night, prayer house to prayer house, investigating and all kinds of research, trying to find out where did this attack come from. And the person we should hold responsible, we have ignored him, is the person you see in the mirror. If the edge is not broken, the serpent cannot strike. Mind you, let me show you our normal place of existence. The Bible says we are hid in Christ and Christ in God. And so it means to assess you, there are two layers of security protocol that must be breached before anything can touch you. If you find out that something prospered, an enemy attempted your life and then the attempt prospered, one of the first things you should be doing is asking, why did it prosper? What did I lose? The Bible says, he that rolls a stone, to him it will return. He that diggeth a pit will fall into it. Now they roll stone and it came to you. The first thing to investigate, is it not why did it prosper? We blame everything except ourselves. And most of the times, the reason why Satan's, you know, attempts at our life and all of his attack continues to prosper is because there is that breaking of the edge. Holiness itself is an invincible lifestyle. You live from a place where you don't, in fact, in all honesty, when the way of a man begins to please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You will just realize that you are in the midst of things that should devour you. For your sake, lions will just lose taste for flesh that day. And you will stay inside lions as though they are not carnivorous animals. It's the way of a righteous man. There are too many prayer points you can pray. So summarize them by living holy. Just be holy. If a man is holy, part of the things that he enjoys normally, there are certain vocabularies that are exclusively reserved for holy men. The Bible says you are the apple of his eyes. He suffered none to do them harm. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Holiness, holiness itself, in all honesty, is one of the greatest possibility and potential of the Christian. Take a shark out of the water. Suddenly you will see it like a very lazy, a very useless beast. If a monkey engages a shark and they go into an argument and decide to settle that argument with a competition and they fix that competition in the land, the shark has lost that competition already. Because the strength of that shark is in its element. It's only when it is in its element, that is when you will see its true potential. Man was not created to live in the world. He was created to live in God. Because it is in him we live, we move, and we have our being. If Satan lures you out of God, you will not know your true potential. You will be operating from a disadvantaged place. And the average man lives his whole life in disadvantage. Once upon a time of, you know, few moments, he steps into light and calls it a testimony. And that is supposed to be his normal lifestyle. And is any time something happens around him, there is now a challenge. Then he begins to take God serious. He begins to, you know, capitalize on the things that were supposed to be his normal lifestyle. Then he will now see certain interventions. He will now say that God has given him a testimony. That thing he's calling a testimony is supposed to be his normal lifestyle. Normal. And so time and time again, when God wants to help us, he would, if you read from the account of the Old Testament, not only with God, when gods are angry with their loyalists, what they do is that they bring them into affliction. When God is not happy with his people Israel, he will allow a Gentile nation to carry them into captivity. And that captivity is from actually a point that they would repent. It's not for the enemy to destroy them. It is actually that repentance can become the end state of this whole process. When God wants to make the most out of our life, in all honesty, because in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, the Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Please say image and likeness. If you read Genesis chapter 5 verse 3, you will find another, a whole different thing happening there. Because in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, the Bible says God created man in his image and after his likeness. In Genesis chapter 5 verse 3, you will see that Adam lived 130 years and then begat a son in his own likeness and after his own image. The Adam that is doing this now was once created in the image of God. Was once created in the likeness of God. Adam has fallen. Adam has not been repaired. Adam continued procreating and creating another breed of creation that are after his own likeness, after his own image, the fallen breed. And so everybody who will come through Adam will enter time broken. You will be broken because you will reflect all the infirmities of your ancestor, Adam. That brokenness, that distortion of the standard that happens to everybody that comes through this channel called Adam is why God needs to create this package where everybody will have to be born again. Because you were born at some point with all kinds of infirmity, you will have the opportunity to have your own choice. to choose that I don't want to carry all these limitations, all these causes, all these patterns that follow wherever you are coming from. And so you have the opportunity to make a decision to come under Jesus. If you come under him, one of the things God does is that he joins you to a whole new lineage and makes that all of the mistakes of Adam, everything he has done, will have no impact over you. And that as soon as a man comes in Christ, the Bible says he becomes a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. In the light of this, there are many mistakes that if God did not sneak death into time as an opportunity for man to partake of, because both in light and in darkness, death plays a major role. The believer will have to die daily to his flesh. The sinner will be dying every day to his sensitivity to God. So death is a major role in anybody's life. You will choose your death. But all man, everybody will be experiencing death at some level. And in this kingdom, there is spiritual growth at a default state. You will be growing either in light or in darkness. And so if you did not consciously, you know, choose the things that enter your ear, the things that enter your eyes, and then the things that are quickening your heart, you will find out that since you did not put in conscious effort to grow towards light, your life will begin, you will still be growing at the end of the day. It will be growing towards darkness. The cosmos has been rigged. The cosmos has been designed to, at cruise mode, help everybody to grow in darkness. From the kinds of things, you know, that fly as entertainment. Mind you, no spirit is interested in entertaining you. Every content is either edifying you or polluting you. You call it a joke. It's only at surface level it's a joke. There is an underlying message behind it all. There are all kinds of campaigns, hidden and veiled, and we really don't see the underlying motive. There is nothing like entertainment. If that content did not edify your spirit, it will corrupt you from the inside. Mind you, you will never be better than the state of your mind. The state of your mind will never be better than you. It is as you think in your heart. That is how you will be. So Satan will not tell you to do anything. He will sneak his suggestions into your mind. Then your body is helplessly at the mercy of the state of your mind. Anything that has entered the mind, certainly is just a matter of time. It will enter your body. So we live in a world surrounded with all kinds of shades of immorality, different layers of pornography, and the young man, the young woman is thinking, why is it hard to live holy? When everything that enters you from the adverts, from the, you know, fashion sense, everything that enters you is actually selling some layers of defilement. I was sleeping one day in my 300 level on campus, and I have this roommate that plays secular music very loud. And so I told him that I don't like it. So he would wait until I fall asleep, then he will now play it. So I woke up one morning, I wanted to go and take my bath. I now heard a song inside my soul. I heard there's a song, it's All My Ladies. There was that All My Ladies was on repeat inside me. As in, my soul was enjoying it. He was just, you know, singing it. And then I knew that there, if you search my phone, you will not find that content. How did it enter my heart? Even when you are sleeping as a spiritual man, your gates are still open. If you know what that 12 hours is, you will not just leave it empty like that. That 12 hours is time for encounters. If I want to meet God's servant, my father Apostle Michael Ropo, and I know that he is busy. I shared this with some of us last time. I would think on the things I want to ask him intentionally before I go to bed. I will wish that if I see this man, this is what I will ask him. That question that I have brought out, I have singled out, and I will carry one of his tape. In that moment, you don't leave the thing to play. Put it on repeat. Keep wanting. If it's a song, leave it on repeat. When the tape start playing, when you start sleeping, the chances that you will have encounter with that person, that you know, your ears is listening to is very high. And since you had premeditated that encounter, you have left some questions in your heart. The discussion you have in that encounter is exactly what you were thinking about before you went to bed. Sometimes you can even carry a challenge and say, I wish I can meet this person. I know this thing. And then you realize the spirit of just men is not reserved for death alone. It's not till they die. Their spirit can join you too. Even when you are alive, spirits can actually network. They can bring illumination to you. They can meet you at certain... If only you know where to meet them, you will find them. Man doesn't want to live holy. Man doesn't want to be righteous. Man lives inside darkness and is wondering why there are so many question marks, so many handwritings. And the real protection of a man is where he stays. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, the Bible says, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Since we speak about these two great lights, the light that rules the day and the light that rules the night, you will begin to see a very important prophecy left to anybody who wants to understand the ways of the end time. The Bible, speaking in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2, it says, behold, the darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness will cover the people. The Bible went further to make it clear that they are not talking about darkness, you know, just as a rain of, you know, the spirits of the fallen cherub. They began to share that this darkness was referred to as the darkness. So there is a difference between go and get me a book and go and get me the book. When I say get me a book, you can go and bring any book you want, because the book that I speak about, I just said a book. It was not specified. But the Bible says, behold, the darkness. The darkness is like saying the book. It means there is something that has been established. That particular book is what you will get. Which darkness? The darkness that was spoken about in Genesis chapter 1, where the Bible spoke of a darkness that have the capacity to cover the earth. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 2 says, behold, the darkness will cover the earth. This will be for the second time now. But this time, Satan will not only be interested in taking territories. The Bible says gross darkness will cover the people. So Satan has a package of darkness that is to master spaces. He has another package of darkness that is for the destinies of men. So he knows that you are the light, that there is a light of God on your inside. And when God wants to take his glory, you will permit that light to shine so that men will see your good work and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And so in an attempt to stop that, a package called gross darkness. How does Satan actually lock down spaces and lock down territories? He institutes darkness as a system. What many of us call temptation from Satan, Satan has not even had our time yet. You are only dealing with the darkness. The darkness is like a culture. The darkness is like a system. So what you are actually falling for is not the attention of that being called Satan yet. It's just the system that he sets around the place. You go to certain regions and there are predominant sins in those places. Certain peculiar sins that reign in those places. If you see such kinds of, you know, appearance, what you are dealing with in that place is the darkness that covers the earth. There are many people who will be victims of that arrangement. Satan don't even know them yet. The day Satan will know you is when you overcome that layer that all men are subjected to. Mind you, this package is only to keep a territory under dominion for darkness. They didn't use this particular darkness for men. If it is for a man, they have a weapon. It's called gross darkness. You know, you entered on Onitsha. You now saw people dressing carelessly. You now say you were tempted. Satan did not tempt you. What you fell for is your atmosphere. It's just an environment that subjected you. The day you will know whether Satan tempted you, a creature, it is then you will know that the weapon was formed and fashioned with you in mind. It was not a general weapon. They were thinking about you when they were concocting that weapon. Is that one? God says, no weapon formed or fashioned against you will prosper. Any tongue that rises up against you, nothing is against you yet. You just see somebody dressed carelessly in Abuja and you say that it's not easy. You are a victim of just an atmosphere. There is a depth of holiness a depth of consecration. When you begin to hit, you become visible to the powers that be. All this while, they don't know you. If you like, be shouting. If you like, be shouting. I told us already, the protection package of holiness is stronger than the protection package of prayer. Anything you are doing, if holiness is not factored into your nature, you are a waste of time. Because ultimately, God's greatest desire is to get a house. The only way to house God is to become a vessel, purged, meet for the master's use. In a great house, the Bible says, there are many vessels. You reported as a child of Adam. Everybody came in as a child of Adam. You will need to intentionally depart from that lineage and come under Jesus. Many of us are speaking in tongues, shouting, you know, and you get to know, today, may God help us to drop anything we must drop aside. You know what the criteria for effective prayer is? The scripture says the effectual, the fervent prayer of the righteous. Righteousness is a major criteria before prayer can be effective. We live in all kinds of compromise, yet we are giants of prayer, and our prayer moves very little. When you are righteous, your mouth will not always talk before God picks a prayer point. When you think of things in your heart, you will now realize God is too close to you. His heart, his ears are always around the mouth of the righteous. Anything that touches them, he quickly answers. If you overcome Abuja, that atmosphere here, because every atmosphere has its own. And any voice that would speak and declare the utterances of God for any territory, he will come out of that canopy of darkness that is installed for holy territory. Then the few heads that pierce out of that canopy, those are the heads that become visible to the powers in high places. They begin to ask, who is this? That time, that is when spirits too will know that you are serious. Because all these other things you do, you know, one of the most casual things to say is that, you know, nobody is perfect. Nobody is perfect. Judge not. Somebody is in sin. You want to explain to him that this thing you are doing is not, you say you are judging him. So which gospel can we preach? Are we supposed to be begging them and saying, don't worry, everybody is like, and we can't lie, everybody is not like that. Two people born on the same day, same hospital perhaps, by the same doctor. In the passage of time, one person will start asking the other person to help him talk to God because he refused to grow throughout. You will now realize that nobody came with an added advantage. Any transition you see in a person's life, God gave him two things that gave him that opportunity. One, please tell your neighbor time. Please tell your neighbor time. Number two, chance. There are many of us here, time will stand against you even in the seat of judgment, because time has given you all the necessary excuse to transform. There is such a statement called by this time. And they echo it in the world of spirits too, that the master can come seeking fruit, that by this time you ought to be fruitful. That is what they are using to judge you now, is time. Time, that we gave you sufficient time. You are here, you are above 20, you are above 15. There is no excuse. No excuse. As my father was speaking, you know, I was just praying to God that he does not call me up. I love the historical background he began to give about the move of God. Anytime he speaks, there's this excitement that enters my heart. I can listen to him all day. You will never touch your ordination, not for once, until you have overcome these two layers of darkness. The first one is the darkness that covers the earth. The second layer is the gross darkness that covers, and the gross darkness that covers the people, that one, they customized it for you. It was you they had in mind. So they studied five generations. What were your ancestors falling for? Have you heard people who say, this is our own, this is our own? You are laughing. That our own is inside a file. Any day, they now see an arrogant man, because in darkness, they consider your righteousness and your conversations of holiness as arrogance. Any day, they now see somebody define the odds, the natural order of things that is supposed to happen in the world. They will ask for that file. Let's see how we have handled others before him. It is in that day, maybe for the first time in our life, that is that day you will be tempted. So far, many of us have not been tempted. There is a great difference. In fact, listen. There is a very huge difference between the temptation to sin and the opportunity to sin. And what has been the track record of our life for a long time is God just fluctuating temptation and opportunity. If there is temptation, he will withdraw opportunity from you. If opportunity will come, he will not make temptation come. And so, let's say there could be some thieves sitting here with us. They don't know they are thieves yet, because the kind of money you can steal from has never been committed to your hand. And it's only spirits that know that you are a thief, because they don't judge you by your action. They judge you by what you are capable of doing. They see your tendency and they say, one day we will enable you to bring out your true nature. There are unfaithful men who are sitting quietly in their house, and it is until their substance is increased in their bank account. That is when you will see that nature, that tendency that only spirits know. And so when Satan wants to bring out something in you, he begins to lure you to become that thing he knows you are capable of becoming. He has studied several generations of blood from you. Oh, there are many people looking gentle, looking humble. It's not humility, it's poverty. Once God increased them, then you will see their real walking step. How many people were very okay, quietly, you know, drinking water, as God just multiplied their substance? They say, there's a taste, there's a yearning. We need red wine. Can you give a car to a baby, no matter how much he cries? The car will destroy him. Everything you are asking God for, he wants to give you. But the gift of God should only make rich and add no sorrow. And so when God sees that your have you ever wanted to collect something from a friend's phone? Maybe you see a video, you wanted to collect it, then your phone now gave you an immortal message. It says, memory space not sufficient. That is, although they want to give you, your friend has said, take it. You don't have capacity to receive it. This is what Jesus meant. He says, many things I have to say unto you, but you cannot bear it. So you just remain in this your situation until you can bear it. In the light of this issue that happens to man, that is a product of his deficiency of capacity, how does God increase capacity for people? Tell the person by your side, affliction. It is this part that we want to escape, because we think that coming from Egypt is straight to Canaan, and you must go through the wilderness to access Canaan. The wilderness will rid you of all your gifts from Egypt. You will use all those gold to serve God. There are people here, this message is to encourage your heart. Somebody told you that, you know, you just come to the cross. You don't know the first thing the cross will do is to kill you. The cross that killed Jesus will kill you too. After you are dead, then you will come back alive. So people live the way of sin. A Yahoo boy met me in Kaduna some weeks back and say, he will not lie to me, he's discouraged. I said, what's happening, brother? He said, he knows what his hand was touching in the days where he was in sin, when he was not born again. But now that he's born again, that he does not understand. And they say that it's God that is the true, you know, source of blessing. So I was just looking at him. When he was done talking, I now realized what the challenge was. It was the kind of gospel that they presented to him. They didn't tell him that there is a demand inside this gospel to turn away, to lose first before God will give you. And when God wants to help that kind of heart, he takes them through the wilderness. It is in that wilderness, that person who was used to living lavishly, he will taste penury briefly. And God will still want him to be faithful in that situation. There are things believers go through, it is not sin. is not sin. In all honesty, it's not every affliction that is sin. I can tell you this. There are afflictions that have to increase your capacity. Many of you here, the reason why you have become so violent spiritually, it was because God allowed Satan to touch you briefly. You were sleeping, you just close your eyes and sleep. Your prayer is that 5 seconds. Just thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. Then God allows Satan to move around your vicinity small. So you stayed at night yesterday and prayed. God still told Satan, move around small. You stayed around the next day and prayed. By the third day, you now realize that your vocabulary in your tongues has increased. You are now beginning to tarry more. Mind you, it was your selfish desire God used to lure you into prayer. Because you will not pray if nothing touches you. The average Christian will see a dream, probably see bloodshed everywhere, see riots, and then he will say, I cancel it in the name of Jesus. I know who I am. Then he dreams and saw that his mother died. He declared fasting the next day. That one is more important to him because it touches him. So if God wants to help you, he will now even allow Satan to touch you a bit. It is that wilderness. That wilderness. That is where God rid us of all the appetites. Because when you give your life to Christ, your wardrobe will not change. I think Revelation chapter 3, the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man will hear my voice first and open the door, I will come in. Please say, I will come in and eat with him. Say, eat with him. And then he with me. Say, he with me. Jesus' first assignment entering there is to eat with the person. And what does it mean for Jesus to eat with a person? Is to accept you exactly as you are. To eat with you means what you serve is what I will partake first. You are the only one that say, how can you say she's born again and see how she's dressing? Jesus has entered the heart. The first thing he will do, he will eat. All of these other things, they will follow suit eventually. I will show you where they will follow suit. It's when the thing changed from Jesus eating with you to and he with me. So it's not only you that will give food. Jesus brought something that you will eat, you too. And when he starts serving that thing, that is when you begin to know the demand of the kingdom on you. But a new believer, he will just be enjoying grace. He will fall. He will still be feeling the embrace of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is still eating with you. The armed robber is gone. He's still in his wardrobe. He has not thrown it away. Jesus still is in the heart. But then, time comes when God begins to point all of these little areas and say, adjust this. At that point, that is where men say, you are now born again. This is why you cannot judge men. Oh. There are too many people you actually think they don't know God, and Jesus is working on them already. It will take time. For some, they will struggle, but eventually, as far as that life has been kindled on their inside, they will get there. In the light of what we have shared, time is fast spent. If you overcome darkness, the next thing that will be waiting for everybody, and there are only few men that overcome the darkness. And this one, actually, the devil installs it to cover the earth. When you overcome the darkness, that is the excuse of your generation. That besetting sin. Hebrews 12 verse 1, it says, seeing that we are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that easily beset us. There is an excuse you can fall for easily. If you overcome that one, then they will come and try you. It is in that point you will now see a marked difference between the temptation to sin and the opportunity to sin. There are many people sitting here going around condemning people, judging people. Look at this one. See how she's sleeping around like a dog. I don't believe this is a prostitute. The truth is, I found out there are too many people who don't know yet that they are how they are because opportunity has not come. You may be shouting that, by God's grace, you know, some of us are chest. In case you are hearing something else, let me just balance it quickly. By the grace of God, I am not, what I'm about to say is not an excuse, you know, for a loose lifestyle. In fact, the person who speaks to you, by the mercy of God, God has kept me too. But if you know how God has kept you, you will see that it was His grace at all times. In fact, there were days where I fell in my heart, but the opportunity did not come. Let me share something. If the kind of guy that you like have never asked you out, then you use that strength to say that you've never dated before. You want to use that history as a strength. Your challenge is that you didn't have opportunity. Because it is until what you truly want comes and you say no to, only then can we say that actually you overcame. And there's a marked difference between overcoming temptation and escaping temptation. You have not overcome yet. If it was, you know, certain issues that played out that just gave you an intervention, you called the lady, she came to the house, you know, you've put that Babylonic song in the background. And then you are making all the moves. And then God quickly saw that one of his sons wanted to fall and quickened Brother Titus. Titus got up for no reason and said, he's coming to visit you. He called your number, you switched it off. Then he stood up and came to your house, knocked on the door. When he entered, he sat down between you and the lady. All of you pretended like you are watching film. After some time, then Titus still started gisting about Jesus. Then the lady says, "Sir, I'm leaving now. Time is." If you mistakenly get up from there and say, "I overcome," you are a liar. Brother, you escaped. And every spirit there know that we will catch you again. You know what Jesus says? He says, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome." If you overcome, that thing no longer have any joy around you. Your heart is not desiring it again. What we call overcoming, we are just joking. Somebody held money like this, his hand is shaking, tears in his eye, telling Jesus, "It's because of you I'm returning this money." Then you now say, you didn't overcome. There are all kinds of signs that if they increase this pressure, you will break. Be of good cheer. I have overcome. The only way you can handle this gross darkness and come out of it is the victory of Jesus you will use. In this carnal nature, in this fallen man, anybody still trusting himself, using principles. You know, I found out that our generation at some point have alienated God, but we have isolated his principles and we are using it. People give, but they are not giving out of the love for God and his kingdom. They are giving to trigger a response of it to come back to them in hundredfold. That nature of giving, God is not part of it. You have isolated a principle. And one thing about principles are not respecter of persons. Huh? You don't need to have a relationship with God to use the principle. It is like throwing a black sander up, it will come down. Throw a white one up, it will come down. It is just a law that regulates it all. There are Muslim men who don't know Jesus, who sow into my life every month, and I know what they are doing. One called me one day and said that he just wants the thing that is happening around me, let it just be happening around him. And I said, "I want to talk to you about Jesus." He said that I should just wait, that we will talk. They can isolate the principles. That is exactly what the prodigal son is. When you isolate God out of his principles, that principle will lead you away from the Father into a far country. You will now, what you have actually done is that you have requested for your inheritance. And the inheritance, you wanted to be self-sufficient in yourself without depending on the Father. So you alienated yourself from the spirit that powers the principle. The principle will still work. But the more you are using it, it will be taking you farther from God. You will turn one day and see you have departed. Yet, you are hanging around church. Yet, why do people pray? a major reason for prayer, in all honesty, we use prayer as a means to collect, to receive, to assess. Prayer itself can be a time of fellowship. You are just enjoying koinonia with a spirit. Many times when I am confused and I don't know what to do, I pray in tongues. That time of praying in tongues, the wisdom of the spirit you are dialoguing with will saturate around the place. It will enter you. You will just enjoy him. The Lord is laying it in some people's hearts this night. He is reminding you again. He is reiterating this thing. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand upon his holy place? He that has a clean hands and a pure heart, that has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. We are talking about, we are manifesting, we are rising. We are saying we will blow the trumpets in Zion. And the only place for you to sound that alarm is when your feet can come upon Mount Zion. When you ascend there and your feet is there, when you say anything, God will amplify it. But the only criteria to climb that mountain of the Lord is to have clean hands and pure hearts, and that you have not lifted up your soul unto vanity. This is the criteria to climb, not to manifest, just to climb first. Who shall ascend? Wherever you are, please just bow your head 1 minute, quickly. So far, so good, Lord. Every area around my life, everything that I do that has been corrupted, that has been influenced by a wrong motive, draw my heart to you again. Teach me the way of holiness, consecration. Let it become a burden in my heart. Put a zeal for purity in me. May my garment be spotless. Make sure you are talking to God. Oh, and when that spirit tabernacles on you, suddenly you will find out you don't need to ask the sickness to leave. God and sickness cannot be together. Just carry God. Carry God. Your prayer points will be few. Become a host fit to carry him. Your prayers will be so few. Make sure you are talking to God now. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. Flow, let it flow right here, right now. And as the river flows, it begins to bring everything to life. It's a life-giving river. Oh, let it flow right here, right now. Amen. I want to share something in the next 10 minutes. I think I have 10 more minutes. Thank you, sir. Please, I need your attention. Quickly, Revelation chapter 4. Verse 8. I need your attention, please. I want us to read together. Everybody, as loud as you can. One, two, go. Amen, amen. It's a bit rowdy. Let's read together. One, two, go. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and the rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which, and, I want to show you something. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. When you arrive time, God is not obligated to teach you everything he has taught the elders. you will need to follow those who followed him to learn some things about him. He will not go and start from the scratch just because you did not see it. There are things left for those who can follow the path that the elders have left. So scripture says, follow them who through faith. The Bible says, ask for the ancient path, then walk in it. There you will find. There is a God that was. The elders say, who was? Oh. There will be seasons of your life. Huh? You will look for anything around you. You will not find anything to encourage you of the faithfulness of God. You will need to look at your past to go and say, the God that did this for me yesterday, the God that did that. You will use that strength of yesterday to challenge what is before you, because God also was. I'm sharing this for a reason. David will be tending to the sheep of his father, and a bear will charge at him. A lion will charge at him another day. And a man will go home after such experience and begin to think, is God trying to kill me? What kind of risk is my life going through? It's like a man having, you know, a very ghastly accident and, you know, somehow survived, but you are offended that why did the accident even happen? And then a day will come where a challenge will come and everybody will be fidgeting. Then a young man will say, the God that gave me the lion and the bear. There is nothing in the present. He went to yesterday to carry a God that was with him yesterday. I'm sharing this because it's not only God that was. You too, you was. You didn't start in time, so you cannot end in time. In fact, God gave us a little gist in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. It says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you, number one. I ordained you. I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. So you was too. And the agenda of this is that you were with God in eternity past. And when you enter time and give your life to Christ, you will live from the culture of eternity present. And when you are done with your days upon the earth, you will evolve. You will move. You will go into eternity future. So your whole existence was supposed to be inside eternity. And so in this God, you have the portion of him that was, the various dealings that was, and God is not obligated to start doing all of those things again. You will need to refer back to his good ways of old. When that is done, however, since God has given us an ordination before the world began, you were with God. Where you were ordained is not in time. You were ordained with God. He says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you, I sanctified you, and I ordained you. So your ordination, your purpose, the reason for your existence was furnished into you before you were formed. That one, it is not actually the product of men. What men do is that they fast-track all your dealings, or rather all the dealings that should help you become the most effective version of yourself to move accurately in that your call. Because a person who have journeyed ahead of you, for instance, the first day I saw God's servant, I was sitting in the crowd in Kaduna. I've never shared this story. I thank God. I'll tell him today. Jesus was helping us, you know, in our little way. And then he came for a meeting somewhere around a church close by. So I attended. And he was teaching. I was just looking at him in admiration. So he was teaching and he was moving, you know, from side to side. And to my amazement, he said, while he was teaching, that do they know why he's just moving around this side of, you know, the congregation, that there is a grace that is me and him know that he just helped me. That there is a grace that is sitting somewhere there. That please help me welcome my friend Apostle F. In my heart, I said, friend? Now see what happened. Immediately after that meeting, there were more than 40 people that gathered to collect my number. And I know it's not me. They just heard somebody, endorse me. And suddenly, people who didn't think, you know, that there is anything good about you, people who have ignored you all along, the moment somebody decided to share his, you know, cloud with you, suddenly they begin to accord you that same honor. And then I from that day, I just realized that there is nothing I did physically, nothing I have done to earn that, you know, break he gave me. I can tell you, my life changed from that day immediately. Immediately. And then, after some months, he came around. After a powerful meeting, he made some dangerous declarations over my life. And suddenly the doors to nations began to open. A person that his own state did not know, suddenly the utterance of a man now made that nations begin to now seek you. So one day I was thinking, because I wanted to pray some dangerous prayer in the meeting because the power of God was moving. I was somewhere in Enugu when I raised a song and people began to fall under power. I wanted to start, you know, declaring things. And I remembered that someone drew me into his cloud. If I would operate there as a normal, what he has done for me is sufficient enough to bring me to that space. But for me to wield my own authority, for spirits to not ask, who are you at the end of the day? Because they will now say, Apostle Mike, we know. Who are you? Because what you are doing now is that the person has given you all the opportunity. This thing he gave me should have taken maybe 15, 20 years of labor. A man will compress time and draw you into his place. When he has done that, what he has done is, in case you don't even have that ordination, God will not link both of you. If you are not ordained for that, it is until you are ordained, then God will send somebody, a captain, to fast track your dealing. From that prayer, I began to yearn for fasting. If I eat some morning, to be like I committed sin, I'll be feeling one guilt, intense guilt. I'll now start begging the Holy Ghost. It was time they were compressing. In Revelation chapter 17, quickly as we close, God was, he is, and then he is to come. But I want to show us something very quickly as we go. Revelation 17 verse 8. Let's read together, everybody. One, two, go. The beast that thou sawest. Please, let's read together. One, two, go. The beast that thou sawest was. Wait. Remember how the government of God was established, that they started talking about the God of the ages past. He was first. Then he is. Then he is to come. But they say there is a beast that ascended, you know, out of the bottomless pit. If you go further, you will see that they also gave him a little hint there that he also has 7 heads and 10 horns. But for want of time, we will not go there. That this beast that ascended, that he, the beast was too. But the beast is not. So there is, but that beast will also come. Huh? So if you put the government of God, you will have the God who was, the God who is, and the God who is to come. And the dealing of God for your life will start from was. So before you even know yourself, you have to make reference to what was written in the books. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 7 says, lo, I come in the volume of books. There are things about you that was contained with God that you must stumble upon. That one was older than before your body was formed. And so you have to now stumble on that to understand the why of life. And if you have not found the why of life, you will live for every other thing else. The operation of this beast is to create a cloud to remove that portion of is. And is actually eternity now. Eternity present. Oh, so at the end, you can have these other two portions that before you were formed, I knew you. Huh? And then the same voice that say I knew you can tell you after you enter time, and this government that makes that the beast was, but the beast is not, and the beast will come. So you will be accurate before you were, you'll be accurate before you enter time. That is with God. When you were formed, your ordination is clear. Once you enter time, the program of this beast is to make sure that that session of eternity present, you will be missing in that space. So you will live for everything except for the program of God. And so the way this beast will operate, he will take that portion of time where you are supposed to flesh out what that ordination was for in the first place. He would write and use our life in a way that we would be missing in action. So that in the day where God needs you to deploy his investment in your life, you will be nowhere to be found. And so when they want to talk about how did you live your life, they will say, you was, you is not, but you are to come because you will meet a judgment at the end. It's a matter of alignment. You will vow, I must manifest. Manifestation is warfare. It takes warfare to answer present to the roll call of God. God can be calling your name. Where are you? We have sent you 20 years ago. You can't answer present until your head pierces out of the canopy of darkness. When they now bring the sin that brought your great-grandfather down, brought your grandfather down, brought your father down, they brought it to you. It is at that day a man will attempt first to show both God. And when that thing is being presented to you, there will be silence. Both realms will be watching. The day you overcome, your name will become a constant conversation in heaven. Angels will be gisting. Have you seen my servant Job? A man was on earth. Spirits were talking about him. Then when transition seasons come, angels will begin to talk about their candidates. Because many, many spirits know who you are secretly. All the disguise and the hypocrisy is only for men. Every spirit know who you are. That is where they will begin to present their candidate. Mind you, we are in a transition season. And it is an election season in the world of spirits. Spirits are casting their vote for who would handle different scepters. There are offices that will be left vacant. There are people... The way to gum your campaign posters in the world of spirit is your lifestyle. You will use holiness. Every temptation you overcome is another campaign poster that an angel pasted there. They say, vote ever. They will begin to look for, mind you, it's not every purpose that God has on earth that will be given upon a man as a burden. There will be some purposes that men will compete for. Revelation chapter 5, the Bible says, also I heard the voice of the Lord, right? Saying. No, see, I heard a great angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy? The criteria in that day is who is worthy. You are the one that is thinking everything is the free gift. There are certain things you will stand out from men. They know they didn't give you any extra strength. How did you overcome the temptation that brought your fathers down? It is that day you confronted the gross darkness. That day Satan knew your name. They came for you. It's only on that day that you and a spirit actually had one-on-one. The devil was not around Jesus for all these years until God endorsed him. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. The next thing you are hearing, the devil is tempting him immediately. Once your head punches out of the canopy of darkness, that is the excuse of the time. That's the first time you will not have the attention of Satan. I'm speaking to those who think that something is wrong just because they are beginning to be buffeted on all sides. Brother, it could just mean you are getting unusual attention. Your consecration is becoming effective. There is a portion where you enter, the next thing is persecution on all sides. It will break out. And mind you, you will never meet Satan. You will only meet men. And as it is, when Satan wants to commit his anger towards you, he will subscribe men. Use them to do things that would, you know, try to discourage you. When those things are playing out, like I said, it's not every affliction of the Christian that is because of compromise. There are times where people are going through what they are going through because they are actually accurate. It is accuracy that has, you know, complicated things for them. And so tonight, in the light of the truth that we know, what Satan wants to achieve is to make sure that you are missing. The version of you God had in mind did not manifest. So they captured his government with that description. He was, he is not, but he is to come. So you will first have accuracy from the studios of ordination where they packaged and then furnished you with your particular work. Then when you enter time, you will not manifest. You will live your whole days in the adventures of the flesh. Then when you are through, you will go back to the court where they will compare you, because They will not judge you based on work. Nobody will be rewarded for doing work. You will be rewarded for doing the will of he that sent you. If you do any other thing that is not captured in that work, the fire will consume it. It's only the things that are ordained for you that will remain. So a lot of people, they will be missing. They didn't live. That portion of ease never happened in their life. This is why God has given us this charge. Every temptation you overcome gives you another edge in the spirit. Unfortunately, every temptation you fall for strengthens the flesh. The flesh will become stronger by every time you gratify that sin. Then a time will come, the flesh will no longer ask you as a temptation. It will lord over you. It will just bully you. It will just take a decision, and your spirit will have no stature to resist it again, because you have enabled it by obedience. Wherever you are, it's a good time to search our soul quickly. Let's bow our hearts. I will not give you a prayer point at this point. Just articulate the burden in your heart. Let it find expression. As the river flows, it begins to bring every death into life. It's a life-giving river. Oh, let it flow right here, right now. When the river flows, it begins to bring every death into life. It's a life-giving river. Oh, let it flow right here, right now. When the river flows, it begins to bring every death into life. It's a life-giving river. Oh, let it flow right here, right now. Wherever you are, Lord, check my tendencies. There are many things Satan can capitalize on. He knows they are inside here. And he's hoping that when he has allowed you to grow, then he will crush everything once. Ask the Lord, like David, try me, search me, see if there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. Try me, search me, help my heart, oh God. If you've journeyed away from the path of consecration and holiness, this is a good time to return. Quicken a love for you in my heart, oh God. Set my feet on the path of holiness. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. Flow, let it flow right here, right now. And as the river flows, it begins to bring every death into life. It's a life-giving river. Oh, let it flow right here, right now. As the river flows, it's a river of living water. Is a river of living water. Is quickening. Is holy river. Is impacting holiness. As the river flows, it begins to bring every death into life.
It's a life-giving river. Oh, let it flow right here, right now. As the river flows, it begins to bring every death into life. It's a life-giving river. Oh, let it flow right here, right now. As the river flows, as the river flows, He begins to bring every death into life. He's a life-giving river. Oh, let it flow right here, right now.
The next 2 minutes, and I'll be down. Wherever you are, I don't know what Jesus has laid in your heart now. Jesus' conversation with the Samaritan woman was only able to achieve a well springing onto everlasting life. On the last day of the feast, Jesus cried out and said, "Who is it that thirsts?" Both the Samaritan woman and the person who thirsts, both of them will drink something first. When they drink, the impact of what they drink is not the same. From the person that God needs to do a lot of exegesis, argue with, finally, he will just have a well. Both of them are water sources though. Your well will only serve your family members, just a handful here and there. But he that thirsts, out of his belly shall flow rivers. The level of impact will not be the same. If God needs to be begging you, convincing you all the time, every time God must show you before you believe. God owe you an explanation. The one who thirsts out of his belly, you will be a well. Only your father and your mother will say, okay, since you gave your life to Jesus, we have observed that there is relief in the family. There are other people that the whole city has been secured because of them. They are rivers. I don't know where you are, but if you know that God has touched your heart and God has given you an emphasis this night and say, journey in holiness with me, journey in righteousness and see how I will flesh out my will in your life. You know that a spirit emphasized consecration to you and you want to journey on that path going forward. Please come wherever you are. Don't wait for others to come before you come. Come, I'm waiting for you. Quickly.
As the river flows, it begins to bring every dead thing to life. It's a life-giving river. Oh, let it flow right here, right now. As the river flows,
as the river flows,
it begins to bring every dead thing to life.
Life-giving river.
It's a life-giving river. Oh, let it flow right here, right now.
As the river flows,
as the river flows,
it begins to bring every death into life.
It begins to bring every death into life.
It's a life-giving river.
It's a life-giving river.
Oh, let it flow right here, right now.
If you are outside, and those who are still making up their mind, quickly make up your mind. Where you are, please start praying. I first celebrate you because you are about to experience a culture. It's the culture of holiness. Just pray. I won't give you words. Just talk to God. Fetch something from your heart. And then we'll pray shortly. Wherever you are, just start talking to God. Start talking to God. That thing you are saying, he likes it. He wants to hear it. He wants to hear that your decision that came from your heart. Tell him.
As the river flows, it begins to bring every death into life. It's a life-giving river. Oh, let it flow right here, right now. As the river flows,
as the river flows.
Please talk to God where you are, quickly. Talk to God. It ends today. My struggles, rising and falling, up today, down tomorrow, it ends. I will live in consecration. I will live inside God. I will make him my perpetual residence. I will carry purity, my garment unspotted. I insist on holiness. Oh, it's okay to cry. Don't stop that, yes. Just tell him what is in your heart.
It begins to bring every death into life.
Take over, take over,
I have come to the end of myself. Take over, Jehovah. I have come to the end of myself. Take over, take over. I have come to the end of myself. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have come to the end of myself.
Take over,
Jehovah,
Jehovah.
Hey.
I have come to the end of myself.
Take over,
I have come to the end of myself.
Everybody outside, the Lord has heard you. Please say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge your lordship over my life. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you have died and you have resurrected all for me. From this day, I no longer live for myself. I live for you. I live in your power. I live with your power. I receive power to become a child of God. I receive power over serpents and scorpions. From this day, my life will glorify you alone. Lead me in the way everlasting. In Jesus' name I've prayed. Congratulations, everybody who have prayed this prayer. Congratulations. You have entered a whole new experience. Please celebrate them. Amen. Please, you can. Is there any plan? Good. So you just follow the directive of that protocol. Just follow him, please. Thank you so much. God bless you. Celebrate them, everybody. While doing so, encounter Jesus. Can we put our hands together and celebrate my father, God's choice servant, Apostle Michael Oropo? Please celebrate him.
To the end of myself,
take over, Jehovah.
I come to the end of myself.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah,
I have come to the end.
Take over,
Jehovah.
Jehovah.
I have come to the end.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I have come to the end.
Take over,
Jehovah.
What a blessing. You want to give Jesus a big hand for raising such a fine vessel of the kingdom? Praise God. You know, the Bible says there's a river that flows from the throne of God. It said the stream thereof maketh glad the cities of God. These kinds of ministrations, they come from a fountain. You know, when Jesus was speaking to the disciples, he said, the things you have heard, he said, they have washed you. They've washed you. This is how the Bible was written. The Bible was not written in verses and chapters. It's a holy man of God. They spake as they were carried by the Spirit of God. It's a river of inspiration. So, when you are plugged in, you just keep talking. I wish I was not in the hall. Maybe if I was following outside, we would have enjoyed it. I was a distraction. When next you are preaching, don't talk about me. Allow us to drink what is flowing. My God. Can somebody give Jesus a big hand? Efosu. Emmanuel Efosu. Search him up online. Listen to him. He will bless you tremendously. This is a vessel of Jesus. He's the president of Anakazo Ministries International in the city of Kaduna. He will be in Botswana next week to be a blessing to that nation. This is just happening in the midst of the sojourn. And we are richly, richly, richly blessed. Listen to the message again. You thought you heard things. There are many things you didn't hear. I'm telling you, there are many things. And I think we will continue this sermon again. He started something. He said he wanted to show us the different dispensations of the transition of men. He started with the dispensation of light, but the inspiration was too much. When we hear all the dispensations. Thank you for coming. Let's receive Pastor Babatope for the next 2 minutes as he brings this meeting to a close. For those of you that gave your heart to Christ or received the life of God rather, what did we have to give? We received. We have a foundation school structure where we equip you with foundational knowledge of the kingdom lifestyle. If your commitment is genuine, at the end of the service, you can meet Pastor Kings at the back who arranged to see how in just 2 weeks, 3 days per week, take you through that class and have you sufficiently equipped so you don't have to come out for altar course again. Rather, you become an equipper of the people of God. So please sit down. God bless you. In 2 minutes, we are out of here. Pastor Babatope.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.